Good morning. I'm Marty Moscoane. Welcome to Radio Times. There are 1.1 million more registered Democrats in Pennsylvania than Republicans. In fact, in the last 4 years, the spread between Democrats and Republicans in the state has increased from 7 to 11%. But in spite of the overwhelming number of Democratic voters in Pennsylvania, the race in the state between Barack Obama and John McCain is relatively close. Obama leads McCain, but looking at the polls, those numbers have been fluid. John Kerry and Al Gore beat George W. Bush in Pennsylvania by a few percentage points. Election Day is just 5 weeks from today, and while Pennsylvania leans blue, it's still considered a battleground state. We've invited the chairman of the state Republican and Democratic parties to join us today in Radio Times to talk about Pennsylvania as a battleground state. Robert Gleason is chairman of the Republican Party of Pennsylvania, a job he's had since 2006, and he's chairman and CEO of Gleason Insurance Company. Good morning and welcome to Radio Times.
Good morning. Happy to be here.
Nice to have you here. T.J. Rooney is chairman of the Pennsylvania Democratic Party, a job he's had since 2003. He's the managing director of Tri-State Strategies Pennsylvania, and that's a government consulting firm. Mm-hmm. And T.J. Rooney, nice to have you with us as well.
Good morning, Marty. Nice to be with you.
Nice to have you both with us. Before we talk about Pennsylvania and this race within the state of Pennsylvania, I do want to talk about the financial crisis in the country and the fact that the leadership in Congress yesterday was unable to come to some kind of consensus on this bailout of Wall Street, of the finance industry in this country. What does that say, T.J. Rooney, about leadership, party leadership in Congress?
It tells me that obviously somebody wasn't counting votes, and that may also cross party lines. I mean, this was an opportunity to come together and solve a problem that's plaguing our nation. One would have thought, I mean, and again, this cuts both ways. This isn't just directed at Nancy Pelosi or John Boehner, but you would have thought before they put up that really important vote, there would have been a caucus where a nose count was taken, and we would have known they would have known going into it what the final outcome would have been.
Well, obviously, why do you think that didn't happen? As you said, you would have thought there would have been some kind of preparation.
Yeah,
for this
I think, you know, there could be a whole host of reasons. This came about, this very, very important vote came about very, very quickly. I mean, this was cobbled together, and, you know, there were coalitions. I took notice that, for example, the Black Caucus, there were a lot of no votes within the Black Caucus, and the Hispanic Caucus, the same thing, among conservative members, you know, the polar opposite side of the spectrum, there were a lot of no votes. So I just think that there wasn't a whole lot of time to do the kind of outreach that is, you know, necessitated in passing a comprehensive overhaul, bailout, if you will, such as this.
Do you see this as a failure of leadership, Robert Gleason?
Well, I think it is. I agree with TJ. This is a huge problem that came up very quickly. Usually this type of thing is discussed in Congress for months before they make a decision. I didn't realize, I heard somebody say there's 9 different caucuses in the Democratic House, and I'm sure the Republicans have just as many. I think there's a lot of posturing yesterday. I think a lot of the congressmen and women, they're all up for election, all 435.
That's right.
You know their opponents are going to use it on them, whichever way they vote. I think they were cognizant of that, and I think there were some people in Congress who sincerely feel, there are libertarians in Congress who feel the government shouldn't be doing anything. So I think they were really voting their conscience and how they really feel. Now that they've gotten that off their chest, I think now leadership's job now is to cobble together, as TJ said, a majority, because it'll sail through the Senate. There's no problem there, I understand.
And that vote is scheduled for later this week. You wanted to add something?
Well, Marty, I just want to say, for the benefit of both Rob and I, is that when I say, you know, this came up rather quickly, I don't mean the problem came up overnight, but the proposed solution.
The recognition of the problem.
Sure, and the proposed remedy were something that were quickly put together. So I don't mean, you know, for your listeners, I don't mean to suggest that, you know, this came about overnight. Obviously, the problem was very long in the making, but the solution was very, very quick in the off. You know.
Let me ask you, because you're a businessman, Robert Gleason, I mean, do you think this financial crisis is going to hit Pennsylvania hard? Is there any way to know that, or is it?
I think there's no way to know that. I think that's one of the big imponderables here, and the longer the congressmen feel that it's not going to be as difficult as people might think. The people who are sounding the warning, you know, the average American goes about his day-to-day business. He doesn't need money for his business because he doesn't have a business. And he wouldn't feel this until it's time for him maybe to borrow money to buy a car or homes. Nobody's buying homes right now. The pundits say that this is going to make things very difficult. So it would in all states and in Pennsylvania. But you know what? We really don't know. You know, somebody said it's going to be a problem. Who is that somebody? What do they know that if I'm a congressman, what do they know that I don't know? So, I'm not so sure. But my read is we need to do something. I mean, as a businessman, I mean, I still have credit in my business. But, you know, one of the things we have to think about is that I'm from Johnstown, Pennsylvania. One of my co-workers is a director of a savings and loan, the Slovenian Savings and Loan in Johnstown, Pennsylvania. They've never had a default. They've never had a foreclosure on any home. When you go to buy a home, you always have to put down 20%. You get a 30-year mortgage. Things are just perking along there like they always do. So, you know, there's many towns in Pennsylvania, in the nation, that haven't felt this. Will they feel it? Probably. You know, so I think that is something that Congress needs to do. Maybe not $800 billion, but something needs to be done.
Let me switch and let's focus on Pennsylvania. And I'm looking at you, T.J. Rooney. As I said in my introduction, there are 1.1 million more registered voters who are Democrats in Pennsylvania than Republicans. First of all, I think that's an astounding number.
Yeah, I mean, certainly one that we're proud of.
But why, if that is true, why is Barack Obama, and we should say he is ahead, but it's a couple of percentage points, and depending on what polls you look at, why is this considered a battleground state if Democrats have such a huge majority in this state?
Well, it's a very good question, and there's probably a lot of complex answers. The nature of the Pennsylvania electorate, you know, at times, is not at times, is routinely kind of... And, you know, it's an interesting dynamic.
I'm watching you pick your words here very carefully. Go ahead,
TJ. I'm about to pick my nose. But no, I mean, it's a very, very difficult question to answer very succinctly. I mean, you have pockets of Pennsylvania where seemingly the message hasn't been received. But so here, Marty, let's look at the facts as we know them.
Okay.
When you poll Pennsylvania voters, when you ask them about the state of the economy, overwhelmingly, disproportionately, they favor the generic Democratic position. When you ask them about health care, they overwhelmingly support the generic Democratic position. Pick an issue, literally, pick an issue, and the general generic Democratic position is overwhelmingly favored. When you ask the question, for whom will you vote for president of the United States, people then say they're undecided.
So what does that tell you?
Well, I don't want to ascribe motivation to what that might say. I'm just pointing out, and I think people do need for themselves to determine what, in fact, that means. You don't need the chairman of the Democratic Party to suggest what that might mean.
But it does tell you they are not, Democrats in the state are not sold on Barack Obama and Joe Biden.
At this point in time, the deal is not closed. Now, I think we're moving in that direction. I think the debate was very helpful the other night. I would surmise that the debate on Thursday night is going to also assist the questions. You know, and here's the thing. I mean, mm-hmm. You know, a lot of questions have been pointed at Barack Obama. I think the tide is somewhat turning now, and questions are being posed to John McCain and his running mate. I mean, I know it's not nice to talk about Sarah Palin in public company. I mean, you know, you get chastised because, you know, but at the end of the day, I'm sure she's a wonderful woman. I really am. I know she spent 3 days here in Philadelphia. Other than going to DeBruno's, other than going to the Irish pub, and other than grabbing a cheesesteak, I don't know what she did or why she was here. But, you know, I mean, these are questions that I think need to be asked and answered. And I think when the light shines more on John McCain and his running mate, it's going to make people think twice about not being wholeheartedly behind Barack Obama's candidacy.
Let me ask you the same question in kind of reverse order to you, Robert Gleason. Why, though, in the state of Pennsylvania is the Republican Party, depending on how people vote, we'll know that in 5 weeks. But looking at the Republican Party in the state of Pennsylvania, why is it losing support among Pennsylvanians?
Well, one of the big reasons, first of all, we've always been down by 400,000 or 500,000. I mean, that's the baseline, not zero. So we didn't jump from zero to 1,100,000. And being down
still a pretty big jump, though.
Well, it is, but, you know, when you really think about it, we've analyzed it. A lot had to do with Hillary Clinton versus Barack Obama. A lot of Republicans and independents wanted to vote in the primary. You know, in our primary system, you can only vote your party. So many, many people switched over, and some of them are switching back. So we'll wait and see what happens after the election. The other thing is we have a lot of independents, especially down here in the Southeast. Many of them switched over to Democrat because they wanted to participate in the primary. So, you know, I think a lot of that was the reasons. The other reasons were unhappiness with the war, the unhappiness with George Bush, not being able to identify with the Republican Party. I mean, we flew high for years when Ronald Reagan was the president and George Bush Sr. So things were going really well. Even being down 500,000, we were the most Republican state of all 50 states. We had two Republican senators. We had a Republican governor. We had a Republican attorney general. We had both houses. And we also had 12 congressmen out of 19. So, you know, this thing is cyclical. It goes up and down. The other thing that is of concern to me is that the organizers, Barack Obama's organizers and the Democratic Party organizers, have had community groups, organizations out there like ACORN, which is one of the groups. We've all read a lot about that. In fact, they were even in this last bill. If you were very close, the Democrats had the audacity to put in the bailout bill money to go to this Association of Community Organizers for Reform Now, or ACORN. And, you know, they've been out registering people. I went to the Philadelphia
City. Is there anything wrong with that, though?
Yes, there is.
In what way?
There is something wrong with it. I went to the Philadelphia City Commission meeting the other day with my attorneys to ask them what is going on as far as this ACORN is concerned. They registered 180,000 people, and only 12,000 or 15,000 went on the rolls. In other words, what they are doing, there was one man named Alfred Greenfeld that was registered 17 times. There's a very big problem here. I know that they told me at the meeting they're turning over these duplicate registrations to the U.S. attorney, and I think we haven't heard the last of these groups that are out there.
Well, we got a minute before our first break here. T.J. Rooney, can you respond to that? Are Democrats over-registering voters? Or illegally?
No, but it is a comment. With all due respect, I love Rob. We've been traveling around the state doing this stuff for a long time. But this is part of this is right out of the Republican playbook. I mean, last week, my good friend was offended that people, because the Secretary of State said folks can wear shirts and buttons into the polling place. Well, you would have thought that was the beginning of the end of our democracy. Now, ACORN is allegedly over-registering voters. Listen, the fact of the matter is John McCain doesn't want his good surrogates like my friend Rob Gleason to talk about the things that Pennsylvanians want to hear about, things like health care, things about the bailout, things, you know, like the environment. As long as they can distract voters, then they have a fighting prayer in this election. But see, that's what I was getting at, Morty, in wrapping up my last answer.
Very
quickly.
That
once the light is focused on the issues, once the light is focused on John McCain and Sarah Palin, this thing's going to turn on a dime.
Well, we have much more to talk about, and that's T.J. Rooney. He's chairman of the Pennsylvania Democratic Party. Also with us is Robert Gleason. He's the chairman of the Republican Party of Pennsylvania. Both of them joining us today on Radio Times as we talk about what the two candidates are going to try to do to win Pennsylvania, which is considered a battleground state. Have you made up your mind? 1-888-477-9499. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Supporting WHYY, the ACLU, and the Free Library of Philadelphia encourage you to attend a reading in the fight against censorship. Local celebrities will read from their favorite band or challenged books, featuring Gene Shea, Larry Robin, Annette John Hall, Tom Cronin, Dan Yurevec Ecclesburg, and Ursula Rucker. Wednesday, October 1st at 7:30 p.m. at the Free Library's Central Branch, 19th and Vine. Details at aclupa.org/bandbooks.
Join us this Friday for the next It's Our City special on 91FM. Each month, we invite some of the city's top officials to discuss what they're doing to improve the city. Our next edition will be on the Philadelphia school system. Our guest will be Public School Superintendent Arlene Ackerman and Mayor Michael Nutter's Education Director, Lori Shore. That's going to be this Friday, 2 o'clock on 91FM.
The Opera Company of Philadelphia season opens on October 10th with Fidelio, Beethoven's only opera. Starring Christine Gerke, Anthony Dean Griffey, and Greer Grimsley, Fidelio is presented in a contemporary new production by artist June Kaneko. October 10th through 24th at the Academy of Music. For information, 215-893-1018 or operaphila.org. The Opera Company of Philadelphia is a proud supporter of WHYY.
This is Radio Times here on WHYY in Philadelphia. I'm Marty Moss-Cohen, and today on the show we're talking about what the Republican Party and Democratic Party are going to try to do to win Pennsylvania and the presidential election. There are other elections as well. Is 5 weeks from today. We're talking about some of the latest polls, what Pennsylvanians care about, and some of the political party's strategies to appeal to voters in the upcoming presidential election. And Pennsylvania is considered a battleground state, although it leans, I guess, slightly blue. 1-888-477-9499. That's 1-888-477-WHYY. Let me pick up on what you just said right before the break, and this has to do with something called passive electioneering. And as I understand it, Robert Gleason, you don't want people, when they go to the polls on November 4th to vote, to go in wearing Obama t-shirts or Sarah Palin buttons or anything. These are voters. Right. Anything that would give away their particular partisan politics. Why not?
Well, you know, for 75 years, the law in Pennsylvania said no electioneering. It's in the law. I guess electioneering has never been defined by a court, although there's been some Supreme Court rulings on that. I think Tennessee, there was one. And, you know, when you go in the poll, I think it should be a safe haven. There shouldn't be any distractions. There shouldn't be any electioneering. In many polls, when you have to run the gauntlet before you get in, there's people pushing things into your face and yelling candidates' names
outside the
poll. It always is outside the poll. And in my precinct where I live, in Johnstown, Pennsylvania, the constable who is there to keep order at the poll always makes you take off your buttons or hats or anything you have. So that's the only point. I mean, to me, it's not a huge thing. But I want people, when they go into the poll, they should have no distraction, nobody put any pressure on them. They should just go in and vote.
But how are you going to enforce something like that? I mean, you've got polls all over the state.
It's very easy to the election board is they're there. There's five of them sitting there, and they can enforce it.
But you want people to take their shirts off?
Not really. But I mean, you know, many times, I mean, everybody in my precinct where I vote, everybody knows it, so nobody does it. And I think that in some polls, you know, all the homes are close to the polls. I know some polls tell people they can't come in; they should go home
back
and change
home and
their shirt.
What do you think? What's wrong with that, TJ?
Let me agree 150% with Rob Gleason. There should be no election in a polling place. A polling place is, to me at least, is a sacred place where our democracy is upheld every year, a couple times a year. I don't think it's a form, unless Marty, and I'm not the brightest bulb, I readily concede that, but unless they've come up with a shirt that talks or a button that speaks, I'm not exactly sure what this is getting at. I would never, ever accuse Rob Gleason, because he's too honorable and too decent a guy to accuse him of anything nefarious. But I think the net effect of all this could have the following net effect.
Go ahead.
I believe it's, in some cases, a subtle form of voter intimidation. I believe it could be viewed as a subtle form of voter suppression. We know, and not Rob Gleason, but perhaps others who are more Machiavellian in their thinking, know that we are going to have historic numbers of first-time voters coming out to the polls this year. Barack Obama has energized many, many people in unprecedented and profound ways. They will wear, on Election Day, literally their heart and their vote on their sleeve. I believe they should be able to do that. I believe that no first-time voter should be turned away at the polls and sent home because the local election folks don't like what he or she are wearing. And this applies to somebody who might have a John McCain shirt on, or somebody who might have a photo of an aborted fetus on their shirt. I mean, the standard has to be the same for everybody. I don't know if Democrats care more about the First Amendment than Republicans do. I don't know if they've anointed themselves as the fashion police, but I don't want any, you know, listen, there should be no electioneering. If a person goes in there and is trying to hand vote or something, or try to engage voters in a political discussion while they're waiting online to vote, that's wrong. That should be tamped down and put out immediately. But if somebody has a shirt on that says, I love Barack Obama, or I think Sarah Palin's neat, I don't think they should be turned away from the polls.
And just a quick retort, if you want, Robert Gleason, then I do want to move on.
Well, as TJ said, I mean, this can be carried to extremes. There are talking badges. There are flashing badges. There's flashing lights.
They want to see one.
Whoa, wait.
I mean, there are things.
I've never seen a talking badge.
Oh, yeah, there are. I mean, they, you know, they have batteries. They have flashlights and everything. Again, it's just a distraction. I just think it should, again, this has been the law for 75 years. What we need the court to do is decide what electioneering is.
I think we need Mr. Blackwell to come in here and tell us what exactly is appropriate garb for
Mr. Blackwell of the fashion police, so to speak.
Exactly.
We have a vice presidential debate. It's set for this Thursday between Joe Biden and Sarah Palin. Do you have concerns, Robert Gleason, about how Sarah Palin is going to do in this vice presidential debate? And I ask that, having seen her interview with Katie Couric, which was run for several days on CBS last week. And I think one can honestly say she doesn't have command of a number of facts and information. Are you concerned about her performance on Thursday night?
Well, no, not at all. And you know, there are no qualifications to be vice president of the United States. I think you have to be 25 and you... I mean, you know, there aren't any. Anybody can file. You know, it's very interesting that whenever you run for the General Assembly or Congress or anything else, nobody asks you anything. All you have to do is file the names and you're on the ballot. And so, you know, this is the only office, Vice President of the United States, where we're getting all these this discussion about qualifications. She is qualified because she has been picked to be the Republican nominee. Millions of women are rallying around her and like her a lot just because, and you could say just because she's a woman, yes, just because she's a woman. You know, we don't ask people why they're going to vote for somebody. They make up their own mind. We don't have to, we don't give any type of test to voters. They can go in and vote for her. Sarah Palin has a lot of support as being the vice president of the United States. And you know what? Barack Obama has no experience. I mean, he's in the first spot, all right? He's been in the U.S. Senate for 2 years, just 2 years. I think she probably knows as much about being an executive as he does. So I think it's unfair to criticize Sarah Palin. You should talk about Barack Obama in the same breath.
Well, let's do that with you, TJ Rooney.
She scares me to the core. She shivers me timbers. The idea, the thought, and this is, again, I know it's not polite. I mean, and the Democrats, I think, messed up Marty from the get-go when they started attacking her once the announcement was made. I was of the opinion that we should have just kept our mouths shut and let this very nice lady fall apart on her own. I don't think she needs any help. She doesn't need me to stick a fork in her because I believe she'll do that to herself when she has to debate somebody who is arguably one of the most learned members of the United States Senate when it comes to all issues, but particularly those involving foreign policy, where our nation has had a black eye for some 8 years. So, you know, I'm sure, like I said, I'm sure she's a wonderfully nice person. But qualifications, my God, there need to be qualifications. And I think what Rob was saying is that qualifications are what you project them on that person to be. But think about this. John McCain, if elected, would be the oldest person ever elected to the office of president. Senator McCain has had, let's be honest, I mean, he has had some health issues that he has faced over his long and distinguished career, both in the military and in the United States Senate. Sarah Palin could find herself a heartbeat away from the presidency, and that shakes me to my core.
But address very directly what Robert Gleason said, and he was saying, well, if you're going to criticize Sarah Palin's credentials and experience, you have to do the same to Barack Obama. How do you
Let's talk about where Barack Obama has been. He has served, as we know, in the Illinois State Senate for a number of years. He has served in the Congress of the United States as a member of the United States Senate. He has been a candidate for office for 18 months. He has stood before the American people and debated his Democratic colleagues 21 times. He has debated his Republican opponent so far once. Sarah, to suggest that Sarah Palin's qualifications or lack thereof are on par with Barack Obama. I mean, listen, that dog don't hunt. Nobody. She was the mayor of the – I live in a borough of Fountain Hill outside of the city of Bethlehem, roughly 3,500 people. It was the equivalent of being the mayor of Fountain Hill. And I have great respect for my friends Ned Fink and Franny Ferenczen, who have served in the capacity of mayor of Fountain Hill. I don't think either or any of them should be elevated to the office of vice president.
You know, you had asked before why is John McCain in the game in Pennsylvania?
Right.
This is why he's in the game in Pennsylvania.
Because she's energized.
Well, and also, no, the people don't think that Barack Obama is qualified. He's not ready to lead. You know, this is very clear. And he even admitted that he doesn't know the people like this and that. But the people vote for the person. And I think that this really, TJ's criticism, is just really a subtle attempt by Democrats to discredit Sarah Palin because she's a woman. We never talked a lot.
I supported Hillary Clinton in the primary.
No, it's a bit different. You know, you're hitting her because she was the governor of Alaska. She represents, and I think you better be careful because this could really do the Democratic Party in. And this is why John McCain is in the game. You know, Hillary Clinton beat Barack Obama by 10 points. That's a huge drubbing to take in Pennsylvania. A lot of those people, and we've had thousands of women come over and supporting John McCain because they're very unhappy that Barack Obama did not choose Hillary Clinton to be his running mate.
But do you see, and we could spend the whole hour on this as well, which I don't want to do, and we got a full bank of calls here, but are you saying that Sarah Palin is as qualified as Hillary Clinton?
No, I'm not saying that. She's as qualified as Barack Obama. Let's not talk about people who aren't on the ticket. All right, the people who are on the ticket now are John McCain and Sarah Palin. Barack Obama, again, who's number one, who has absolutely no qualifications, is T.J. Rooney, was in the state assembly. Now, we can ask him if he feels he's qualified to be president of the United States.
I'm not qualified to be president of the local Kiwanis Club.
Well,
not running for president.
Right.
I understand that.
People in the game.
But here we have a man who spent 2 years in the U.S. Senate, has been campaigning the rest of the time, and he really has no qualifications other than he's a great speaker, and that is why Pennsylvania is going to go for John McCain.
Well, go ahead, T.J. Rooney, and then we'll get to our callers here.
I don't know where to begin. Wait a minute. All right, so let's just be consistent.
Well, you know what? Let me ask you one little thing, though. And this goes back to the primary, and Robert Gleason is correct. Hillary Clinton beat Barack Obama by 10 percentage points. It was a big win that she had in Pennsylvania. Have those supporters of Hillary Clinton bought into Barack Obama yet in Pennsylvania?
A great majority, but, I'd be laughing at me if I told you all of them did, because they haven't, but the vast majority have, and we're going to work on the rest of them. I mean, listen, I've supported Hillary. So,
Were you a Hillary Clinton supporter?
Oh, my Lord, yes.
Oh, my Lord, yes. Okay.
You know,
I didn't know.
But to suggest, and there's no reason you should, of course, but yes, I was. But to suggest somehow that Sarah Palin, nice woman that she is, really nice, looks like the lady next door, all that good stuff. But to suggest she's somehow qualified to lead the greatest nation in the free world is mind-numbing. I almost can't respond to it.
She's running for vice.
My hair's going to fall out.
She's running for vice president, not for president.
But isn't the vice president, though, that person that's called that heartbeat away from the president?
Yeah.
So she doesn't count.
You know what she's going to do?
In other words, she doesn't count.
She's going to do what Barack Obama's going to do. He's going to hire experts to advise her. Just like he's going to do the same thing.
So the president and vice president are figureheads in this country? They don't make decisions?
Oh, they do make decisions after they go to people to advise them. What does Barack Obama know about any of these things? Nothing. Aren't you worried about that? I say to the people that are listening here, this is one of the reasons that John McCain is in the game. People are very worried. They like Barack Obama. He's a very astute person. He's a good talker. But they're very worried.
Is he is he just a good talker, T.J. Rooney? Then we will get to our callers, I promise.
This is like a half-baked Swift boat somehow. I mean, this because think about it. I mean, it really is scary to think about it. But what I've just heard is that the vice president doesn't count, and we should compare each person running for the similar office to the other person. I compare Barack Obama very favorably. I think he's head and shoulders better than John McCain. So to use Rob's logic, let's compare Sarah Palin to Joe Biden. Because they're running for the same office. There is no comparison. I mean, and again, no disrespect intended, Governor Palin. I'm sure you're neat. I'm sure you're all the great things that, that they say you are. But see, the thing is, Governor Palin, you don't talk to the press. You live in a bubble. We don't know what you stand, where you stand on the issues. We're going to find that out Thursday night. Well, and my Lord, that's going to be quite
this is an election.
I got to jump in.
This is an election for president.
Hold on. And I just need to quickly reintroduce you. T.J. Rooney, chairman of the Pennsylvania Democratic Party, is with us, also with Robert Gleason, and he's the chairman of the Republican Party of Pennsylvania. And a very interesting, heated discussion about the race for not just the White House, but how to win Pennsylvania, which is considered a battleground state. Let me get Bill from Northeast Philadelphia to join our conversation. Hi, Bill. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Hi there. I'm really enjoying this conversation.
Good.
You know, to suggest that someone that graduates at the bottom of their class and someone graduates from the top of their class, that person is just a good talker, that's ridiculous. And then when you look at Sarah Palin, come on. You know, there's no way in the world you can really take her serious. She's not really qualified. And to try to put her in the same boat with Barack Obama, let's be for real. After the debate, I think a lot of things are going to be cleared up. People are going to really see that they've been protecting her, covering her, putting her in a bubble. She's really a nice person, but just to think, who could sleep with her being the president of the United States? Who would sleep at all?
Well, Bill, let me toss that to Robert Gleason. Thanks for calling into Radio Times. Bill's not convinced.
Well, you know, this is an election for president. The vice president is there, and you know, the polls have shown over the years that the vice president candidate hardly affects hardly anybody. I think this time might be a little
even
different.
Dick Cheney.
Well, it didn't. I mean, Bush won. I said in the election.
Oh, in the election.
In the election.
But I'm saying once they become president.
He didn't affect the election at all. I mean, the people voted for George Bush. But the thing is, this could be a bit different this time because Sarah Palin's a woman.
Go ahead.
I think Rob is right to a degree. I think there was a time in our nation's history where the vice president really didn't mean all that much. But I think that began to change in 1992 with the election of Bill Clinton. And the person who was a real – and I don't mean to disparage vice presidents that preceded Al Gore. But Al Gore was an activist and engaged vice president. He was relevant. He mattered. Lord knows. You brought it up, Marty, so I'm just going to follow it up. Dick Cheney, I mean, my God, he's been engaged and an activist vice president. Again, it causes me to sleep with one eye open, as Bill from the Northeast questioned. But to suggest that the vice president, you know, oh, okay, we'll just put her there. She's a nice lady. She draws big crowds. Everybody projects on her what they want to believe, when in fact we don't know what the governor believes because she doesn't speak to the press. So to suggest that it's not relevant, and to suggest that somehow we that take the opposite view of Governor Palin than Rob are somehow sexist or don't like women is just not it doesn't add up for me.
You made a face there.
Well, I think Robert it is. I think it is what it is. There's absolutely been a pattern of the media trying to discredit Sarah Palin, asking her unfair questions.
Do you think Katie Couric asked her unfair questions?
I didn't really see that entire interview.
Asked her about, you know, her comments and things about foreign policy and economic policy.
Mm-hmm. I didn't see that. No, I think they're not unfair. But when she was first nominated and to send a team of reporters to dig up dirt on her in Alaska, I mean, they wouldn't do that to a guy.
But they weren't digging. I mean, Rob, with all due respect, they weren't digging. Nobody ever. She's the governor from a state that nobody's been to, you know, from a place that, I mean, come on. You send people to find out what she's all about. What I think that we didn't understand when her nomination was rolled out is that she would then be put in the cone of silence. She would be put into a bubble where Marty couldn't ask her questions. Martha Raphael, I had this conversation with her from the Associated Press yesterday. I said, Martha, were you in Philly? Yep. Did you get a chance to ask her? Nope. I mean, she goes to DeBruno's. She goes to Pat's. Great places, you know, make no mistake about it. But she's in a bubble, and you can't ask her questions, so we don't know what she stands for.
Another short break. We'll get back to our conversation, and I promise to our callers we'll get them back in on the conversation as well. T.J. Rooney, chair of the Pennsylvania Democratic Party, Robert Gleason, chair of the Republican Party of Pennsylvania, talking about Sarah Palin, but we're going to talk also about Pennsylvania and some of the issues that matter to voters. We'll be right back.
Supporting WHYY, Germantown Friends School, Quaker education for boys and girls K-12. Hosting an open house this Saturday, October 4th from 1 to 3 p.m. Full details and reservations at germantownfriends.org.
The new film Religious takes a satirical and very critical look at religion. On the next Fresh Air, we talk with the filmmakers, political satirist Bill Maher and director Larry Charles. And we'll talk about Religious and how religion is figuring into the presidential campaigns with Stephen Waldman, founder of BeliefNet.com. I'm Terry Gross. Join us for the next Fresh Air.
This afternoon at 3 and again tonight at 7 here on WHYY 91 FM.
I'm Robin Young. Join us next time for the news and these stories here and now. What's the Warren Buffett approach to investing and what can Wall Street learn from it? Also, actor Greg Kinnear on playing the real-life inventor in the middle of a David and Goliath battle against the car industry. That's Public Radio's Daily Digest of News and Culture here and now.
Today at noon on WHYY.
Support for WHYY comes from Freelancers Union, an 85,000-member nonprofit organization dedicated to supporting independent workers in a variety of industries. More at freelancersunion.org.
This is Radio Times here on WHYY in Philadelphia. I'm Marty Moscoane, talking about the race for the White House and what it's going to take to win Pennsylvania, considered a battleground state. Our guests are T.J. Rooney and Robert Gleason. Let's get Cyril from Bucks County to join us. Hi, Cyril. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Okay.
Hi there.
Well, hi. Just wanted to share a comment. I think some of the most poignant criticisms of Sarah Palin have actually come from conservatives, with more and more of them calling for her to step down. Now, I'll just give a couple quick examples. One, Kathleen Parker, a woman. National Review Online, a very staunch right-wing publication, said of her that she repeats words, filling space with dead wood, cut the verbiage, and there's not much content there. If BS were currency, Palin could bail out Wall Street herself. And then Fareed Zakariyah addressing Palin's foreign policy argument with Katie Couric said that it was sheer absurdity. He said that 2 weeks ago he flew to Tokyo, crossing over the North Pole. Does that make me an expert on Santa Claus? Forced off those rehearsed lines, which he has to say is often, quite frankly, gibberish.
Well, you know what,
I would just like, you know, to hear what your guest response is.
No, fair enough. And thanks for calling into Radio Times. And again, we could do the whole hour on Sarah Palin. I don't want to do that, but I do want to give you a chance, Robert Gleason, just to respond to that. That there are, not all, some Republicans who are voicing their criticism, some even going so far as calling for Sarah Palin to step down.
They're media types. I mean, they're none of the rank and file. I mean, they love Sarah Palin. I mean, we had 60,000 people at a rally in Florida. We had 7,000 at a rally in Washington, D.C. I mean, she is very popular with the people. Again, anybody that wants to can file and run for president of the United States. How many did we start with? Each side had 7 or 8 people. Anybody can go. Who said that they were qualified? Nobody. They just decided to run. And again, in your own municipalities, how are people qualified? You're allowed. It takes 10 signatures and you're on the ballot. So the people will make the determination.
But John McCain was the one that picked Sarah Palin.
Absolutely. And we're voting for what we're voting for is for president of the United States. It's going to be Barack Obama or John McCain.
But she didn't run. I mean, she was selected. And what I think that selection does is speaks volumes about what John McCain is all about and what he thought his campaign needed. Clearly, I mean, Rob just cited the fact that they had 60,000 people at a rally, and that's great. I mean, I'm sure that energizes the Republican base. But the fact of the matter is, before Governor Palin was chosen, John McCain was withering on the vine. He couldn't draw a crowd. They could have rallies in a classroom. So Governor Palin is introduced, and it brings some energy to the base. But at the end of the day, I mean, I would contend that the governor is not nearly qualified or capable of serving as vice president.
Let me get to John from Chestnut Hill. Cyril, thanks for the call. John, go ahead. You're on the air.
Yeah, hi.
Hi there.
First of all, just a comment I wanted to make. You know, in response to Mr. Gleason's comments, I just want to encourage all Democrats in the Philadelphia area continue to register voters. The deadline being October 6th, this Monday, I've been volunteering with Barack Obama's office in Kensington and Allegheny. One comment I wanted to make is that the majority of people I've been registering are lower income, and they're also young, under 30, and they tend not to have landlines. Huh. And I know this issue has been discussed about the Pennsylvania numbers. A lot of people without landlines who have cell phones are not being called by the polls. wondering if you could comment on that.
Yeah, and you know, I've heard this as well, John, and I don't know whether pollsters take that into account or not, the fact that so many people do have landlines. Go ahead, TJ.
No, I mean, you know, listen, let's put it on the table. The fact that the polling has been tied tells me that we are actually running a maybe 3-4, as much as 5-point deficit. The saving grace in all of this is what John just alluded to, the unprecedented historic numbers of new voters. And Marty, these numbers are going to be updated after the 6th, after the registration deadline. Make no mistake about it. That is the variable. That is what could turn an otherwise close election into a blowout.
Let me toss something to you, Robert Gleason, because Pennsylvania has skews older. It's an older population, I think only second to Florida. And when older people in the state hear the word change, I mean, this began with Barack Obama, but now John McCain is talking about change as well. Does that resonate with older voters, do you think? I don't know what change exactly means. It's one of those very malleable words. But
I don't think anybody
nonetheless.
Does. I don't think so. You know, we have our population is rather stagnant. Pennsylvania's been a very slow-growing state. It's two states. We haven't talked about that. We have the Southeast and the rest of the state.
That's right.
The rest of the state is very conservative. They're very, very supportive of John McCain. It's the biggest nightmare the Democrats have is that the Reagan Democrats are going to come out and vote for John McCain. And we have our polls show us, and it's shocking to me, that out in the Southwest, in fact, all you have to do is look at Hillary Clinton beating Barack Obama. In my county, she beat him 75-25. I said to TJ before the meeting that if a person dies and their name is on the ballot, they get 25% of the vote. So, you know, Barack Obama had the lowest total in the Democratic primary of any major candidate I've ever seen. And I'll tell you what, those people are going for John McCain. They're just not going to be supportive. And these people that live down here in the Southeast are going to be very surprised.
Well, I wonder, though, looking across the state and whether you like it or not, Robert Gleason, in the southeast part of Pennsylvania, that's really where the population is. And is this all about turnout,
you
TJ
can, you can You can win. Heck, you could probably make an argument you could win 9 of Pennsylvania's 67 counties and still win the election. You may be
able. And that's because you're talking about Philadelphia and the suburbs?
You're talking about the population centers. And listen, I'm not such an elitist to suggest that a vote in Tioga County doesn't mean as much as a vote in Philadelphia County, because it does. But the fact of the matter is, the campaigns, whether you're running for state treasurer, whether you're running for auditor general or attorney general, and by the way, Marty, I would be so remiss if I didn't make a case for those races. Let me give you this one scary number.
Go ahead.
In the primary, for people who voted, Democrats voted for Barack Obama or Hillary Clinton, they went in and did that. 400,000 people forgot to vote for the down ballot races. These races are important. Tom Corbett, the Republican Attorney General, is up for re-election. Democrats, take notice of that. The open seat for the treasurers is Rob McCord is a Democratic candidate, and Jack Wagner, our current incumbent Auditor General, is up for re-election. These are important races. For anybody who's listening, please don't forget to vote in these other, you know, in races for Congress, races for the state legislature. This is hugely important. It's not as sexy and doesn't command the attention that, you know, Barack Obama and Sarah Palin and John McCain and George Bush and Dick Cheney command, but these are wildly important. So, you know, please take note of that. Please don't let a great day escape us because people forget to vote in the down ballot races.
Let me get Ruth from Morristown to join us. Hi, Ruth. Go ahead. Your Radio Times.
Hi.
Hi there.
Look, I want the speakers to comment on the fact that we are not just electing these individuals. And this is the greatest concern to me, and I hear very little discussion about it. When I elect John McCain, I'm electing the person he chooses as, how about Treasury Secretary, who's going to have an extraordinary power to give out billions of dollars, certainly under the current bailout plan. They're going to be appointing the head of the EPA, or how about the head of the Department of Interior? And, you know, and they are also the nominee of their party. So Obama is the nominee of the Democrats, McCain is the nominee of the Republicans, and with that comes a lot of ideology, a lot of chits to be called in, and a lot of baggage. And who is going to be filling in all these posts? I mean, we've seen.
Well, you know what, Ruth? Let me take your central point, because I think it's a good one, and it has to do with whoever the president is.
The Supreme Court.
And Supreme Court. They yeah. They get to make a lot of decisions and a lot of appointments. And I wonder to you, Robert Gleason, if you look then at who runs the campaigns, does that give you an idea about who might be part of an administration, a kind of a snapshot into an administration?
Well, maybe a little bit. You know, I think people don't vote as much Republican and Democrat for presidential politics. I think they take a hard look at who the candidates are. The Republican Party is very involved with the McCain campaign here in Pennsylvania, and we have a lot of our grassroots folks working for it. But we have to remember, we talked about this big registration gap. Registration doesn't matter in the general election. The people can vote whoever went to. It doesn't matter if they're Republican, Democrat, or independent. And, you know, in the past, we have had, as I pointed out earlier on, many Republicans get elected in Pennsylvania statewide. I'm not going to just say local. And, you know, this time again, as TJ, well, I'm sure, will readily admit, the electorate in the rest of the state is much different than it is in southwestern Pennsylvania.
Go ahead. You want to talk about the appointment issue, TJ Rooney?
Well,
go
sure.
Ahead.
And that's the happy fate. I'd much rather go into an election with a 1.1, 1.2, 1.3 million registration advantage. But I'm not going to argue that point. Yeah, I mean, Ruth is spot on. I mean, look at the campaign, Ruth. Look at the top seven of McCain's 10 closest advisors. You know, the top seven of them are Washington, D.C. lobbyists, people like Phil Graham, who deregulated the bejesus out of the banking industry, which many would suggest have led to this calamity that we face today in the trillion-dollar bailout. But Supreme Court justices. Ruth, you're right about EPA. You're right about housing and urban development. You're right about all those things. But again, something that I think is important to a lot of folks is who John McCain might choose to put on the Supreme Court. And there could be a number of opportunities for him to influence his newfound conservative Republican credentials by packing the court with people that will turn the clock back on everything that many of us, especially those of us listening to Marty's show today, hold near and dear.
Ruth, thanks for the call to Radio Times. Let me get Joey from, is that McCungy to join us this morning in Radio Times? Hi, Joey. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Yes, hi. Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome.
Good morning, folks.
Good morning.
Just had a comment. I'm a newly registered voter here in Pennsylvania. I was originally from Massachusetts and was registered up in Maine and Massachusetts, both as independent. And I was going to do the same when I registered here, which was, in fact, just yesterday. But I decided to go with the Republican Party this time, only because from what I can see from this standpoint, we're in such dire straits. It's almost as if we're at war right now in so many ways, and we're sort of in an entrenched mode. And if I think about it, you know, if I'm going to be in the trenches, I want somebody with me who's seasoned and experienced. So I have to go with John McCain, and it has nothing to do with the fact that Sarah Palin's going to be on the ticket. It really doesn't.
Well, you know what, Joey? Let me see if I can get T.J. Rooney to talk you out of that, and then we'll hear from Robert Gleason,
Joey,
as well. Fair enough. And I'm glad. I mean, everyone should register to vote. There's no question about that.
Yeah, and obviously I commend you. I mean, I would wish you picked the other party, but that's all you. You know, you said that, you know, these demanding times, Joey, and I'm not trying to be argumentative or confrontational, but what you said was that, you know, I want somebody in the trenches. Well, Joey, I want to get the hell out of the trenches. I want America to experience the kind of resurgence that I believe is possible under a Barack Obama presidency. I want our standing in the world community to be bolstered as only I believe Barack Obama can. So while I understand and respect your idea that, you know, John McCain served his country well and admirably, you know, I just want to get the hell out of the trenches.
Well,
what do
you think, Robert? I certainly agree with the caller. I mean, the Barack Obama has no experience doing anything. He's not ready to lead. I mean, this has been very been out there. We've talked about it. He has no foreign policy experience. He's doesn't know how to deal with foreign leaders. He certainly won't know how to. He has made no comments on this problem that we're having with the economy because he doesn't know what to do. And I think that's one of the big problems that the voters, when they go in to vote, and I've had many people tell me they're afraid to vote for Barack Obama because they don't think he has the experience to be the next president of the United States.
Well, let me just pick up what you just said about how he had made no comments about this current financial crisis. And I don't think the facts, to be honest with you, bear you out. According to members of Congress, they were had numerous conversations with him. I mean, maybe he wasn't in the spotlight on this issue.
He made no comments publicly. He had after the vote, he had a four-point plan that everybody agreed to. He wanted the taxpayers to be paid back. He wanted CEOs not to get too much money. I mean, what he has done the whole campaign is really kind of mimic everybody else when it comes to making decisions on many of these major things. And I think the reason he's not going to carry Pennsylvania is the people are not comfortable with Barack Obama being the next president of the United States.
Go ahead. I mean, do you see Barack Obama's mimicking John McCain?
My Lord, why would anybody want to mimic John McCain? No, I don't see that. I mean, you know, right, Rob. You know, Barack Obama didn't come in, didn't swoop in, didn't threaten to cancel the debate, didn't postpone his campaign. Come on. I mean, this is all, Marty, it goes back to what we talked about in the very beginning. If we have this, you're right. I mean, Rob, if this conversation remains about tactics, if it remains about Barack Obama, nanny, nanny, blue, you know, all that kind of stuff, but if it's about issues, if people who are listening to this program today care about issues, if they care about being able to send their kid to college, if they care about our environment, if they care about the war in Iraq, if they care about making changes in economic policy that has failed us time and time again, if you care about those things, then you're going to vote for Barack Obama and be very, very comfortable in doing so.
Go ahead, this is where you're missing the point. Being president of the United States is about being a leader. It's about leadership. It isn't about issues. The Congress are the ones that screw up all the issues.
Leader or
theater?
They're
the ones that have to do it. John McCain has proven his leadership. This is what we need.
The main job, theatrical ability.
No, no. The main job of the President of the United States is to defend the United States in the event of an attack. He's the commander in chief. Barack Obama has no idea what to do if this country was attacked.
Let me ask you this, Rob. Do you think George Bush was a good president, good commander in chief?
Absolutely, I do.
And what relative experience did he have coming as governor of Texas prior to his becoming president? I mean, I'm just trying to make this all consistent. I'm trying to put my arms around what the idea.
Well, here was. In that campaign,
and you got 45 seconds.
In
go
that
ahead,
campaign, we had two people who had never served and had never done anything as far as the being a leader is concerned. Certainly,
but the fact that he didn't
Al
have
Gore
that experience didn't preclude him in your mind table, from being an effective
yes,
president.
Yes, but here we have a choice. We have a choice between a man who is a proven leader, who has been there, who has served our country his entire life, and we have a new person who really has no experience and he's not ready to lead. I mean, this is the biggest problem I think that Barack Obama has.
10 seconds, and we got to close things down. Go ahead, TJ Rooney.
Issues. If don't let folks distract you. Don't let folks distract you about what you should wear or can't wear into the polling place. Don't be distracted about who Acorn registered or didn't register. Be concerned about the issues. If you're concerned about the issues, then Barack Obama will have the wind in his sails to carry the day and change the world and America for the better.
Well, we will find out in 5 weeks and one day. And TJ Rooney, thank you for joining us today on Radio Times. And Robert Gleason, thank you very much as well. TJ Rooney, chairman of the Pennsylvania Democratic Party, and Robert Gleason, chairman of the Republican Party of Pennsylvania. Give us drop us an email. Be curious to know what you think about this conversation today. Go to whyy.org/radiotimes, and we continue our conversations talking about the race for the White House. I'm Marty Moss Cohen, and you're listening to WHYY FM Philadelphia, your member-supported news and information station serving Pennsylvania, New Jersey, and Delaware.